Let's let the cameras roll. Welcome to Citizens Climate University tonight. The topic is boosting your chapter's social media game. We're lucky enough to have CCL's Director of Marketing Events, Ashley Hunt Martirano, on with a call with us. Ashley organizes and directs the annual conferences and lobby days in Washington, D.C. She also leads the marketing department in the important work of spreading the word about CCL and bringing in new volunteers. Ashley joined CCL in 2012 as a volunteer, co-founding the Long Island, New York chapter, and then helped launch six chapters throughout New York after that. Ashley has a master's degree in clinical psychology, grew up in West Virginia, and currently lives on Long Island with her husband and three very large dogs. So thanks so much for being on the call tonight, Ashley. I'm going to pass it off to you in just one quick minute. We always review before getting started our learning goals for the evening, and tonight's learning goals for social media should include the following for participants listening in. We hope that we can help you learn how to recruit new members online, inform and engage the public in real time, motivate action online as well as in real life while connecting with other organizations and building alliances, and then lastly, really attracting the attention of your members of Congress. I know I got several questions earlier today about how to best do that. Ashley is going to specifically address that, as well as their staff with the platforms that Ashley will be discussing. So with that, I'll pass it back to you, Ashley, and it's an honor to have you on tonight's CCU.
Great. Thanks, Brett. You can hear me okay? Great. Okay, so the most powerful thing about social media is something that many companies and organizations often forget. It's social. So social media is designed for two-way conversations, and that's when it's most powerful. A lot of brands sometimes use it as a broadcasting station instead of engaging with their constituency. And so as we're using social media for our chapters, our organization, we want to make sure that we remember it's a two-way street. So you aren't just putting information out there. People are responding to it and you need to be responsive to them. So what platforms are we going to cover today? I'm going to spend the majority of my time talking about Facebook, and then we're going to also have some focus on Twitter and Instagram. The reason for that is because Facebook is the platform that most of our volunteers use. And Twitter and Instagram are becoming more common amongst our volunteers. I'm not going to go into LinkedIn, Snapchat, Pinterest, or Google+, because those ones are not used very much by our volunteers. And they're just not exactly the kinds of tools that we want to be using to recruit new people or engage with them. So you'll see in this next slide why we're focusing most of the time on Facebook. And that's because when you compare Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, and even looking at Snapchat, you can see Facebook far exceeds and outperforms these other platforms. So the average age for Facebook is a little on the older side. And sometimes kids move on to, sometimes kids move on to Snapchat or some other fun, new, up-and-coming social media platform when their parents join Facebook. So that's why the ages tend to be on a little higher, that because kids move on when mom and dad or grandma are on Facebook. It's nonpartisan. Everyone uses Facebook, but it can be an echo chamber where people are posting things that their friends agree with, and their friends are posting things that they agree with. And Facebook actually perpetuates that. The algorithms work to where it will actually make things appear in your newsfeed if it's something that you and your friends are more likely to agree with. So that's a little bit of a problem, and we saw that kind of play out with this last election. So Twitter's more popular for shared events or news in the community or world. And Instagram is really about images and pictures. There is a little bit of an overlay of what you do on Twitter with Instagram in terms of using hashtags. The cool thing about Instagram is it allows you to post things to Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook all at the same time. So that's the one really hot selling point for Instagram. So I want to encourage us that when we're using social media, that we are remembering our CCL values. So remember, our values are to be nonpartisan. So we're not endorsing candidates. We're going to remain optimistic. So We're going to try and focus more on solutions as opposed to gloom and doom bad news. We're going to try and cultivate relationships, and we can do that through appreciation, showing gratitude and respect. We're going to stay focused on climate change and try and highlight carbon pricing as much as possible. We want to act with integrity, so we're thoughtful and we're persistent. And we want to encourage people to feel empowered, to use their voices to be heard, and to encourage action. So let's get started on Facebook. So on Facebook, the first thing you need to do is you need to create a profile. So if you already have a profile, you already are done with step one. So check. Good for you. So that's your personal platform for sharing pictures of your cats or dogs, your kids, your grandkids, engaging with people on Facebook. So that's your profile. When you want to have something representing your chapter on Facebook, that's where you need to decide if you want to do a page or a group. And I'm going to heavily advocate for pages. We're actually not going to really talk about groups today. And the reason for that is because groups are when you want to share information with a very small select number of people with a shared interest. And today, the focus is really on how to get out there with your information, how to engage with the community and get more people to join your local chapter. So that's where pages comes into play. So pages are designed to be the official way to have a presence on Facebook for organizations or brands, businesses. So how do you set up a Facebook page? Well, first of all, you're going to need to recruit somebody in your local group to be the volunteer manager. And this might be a great way to engage with a younger person in your chapter if maybe they're having a hard time figuring out how to get involved. Someone who's really tech savvy would be great. This could be a great way to engage with somebody who can't come to your meetings. Maybe they work on Saturdays, and so they can't ever come to your monthly meetings, but they really want to be involved and want to contribute as much as they can. So this is a way they can be involved and contribute. They can manage the Facebook page. So you start with your personal Facebook account, and then you go to the facebook.com/pages/create, and then you're going to fill out the details of the page. So you're going to pick a profile picture, and you're going to put, you know, the name of the organization and some information about it. And you're going to want to also add additional people as administrators. And that's because you want to share the load of posting on there. And also, if you ever get locked out of your own personal Facebook account, you're also locked out of your page. So if you have other admins, they can help you get back into that. And so once you've got all of that together, you can start adding content. So I'm just going to show you quickly some examples of some logos people personalized for their local chapter. So these are all within the correct use of CCL's branding. So you can feel free to take our logo and personalize it a little bit into these kinds of different styles. We don't want to go too crazy, too off brand, because we want it to be recognizable so that anyone looking at your page will know you're part of this national, international organization overall. So how do you get people to like your page? This is one of the big hurdles in the beginning. So what you really want to start with doing is inviting your friends on Facebook to like your chapter page. You want to invite everyone in your chapter. You can do that through an email newsletter. You can also remind them at meetings. You could actually add a meeting, say, hey, get out your phone really quickly and go onto your Facebook app and like our chapter page right now. It'll take you 30 seconds to do that. You could ask your friends or the people that are in your chapter or the people that are already liking your page to invite their Facebook friends to like. And then you can add it to your newsletter at the bottom of the newsletter, the footer. You can add that there to your chapter emails and also to your own personal email signature. You can add a link to your Facebook page for your chapter. And then it's really a great strategy for a lot of reasons to like other pages. So, of course, I hope you'll like the CCL National page. I administer that along with Allison Cabisco and our interns. And then you can follow or like other local organizations, so maybe your local chapter of Sierra Club. And then another great option is following other CCL chapter pages, because a lot of our CCL groups out there, I follow them and they're posting great content. And sometimes I see something on their page and then I put it on CCL National, because the Third Coast has such a great presence on Facebook, Brett. what should you post? So now you've got people that like your page, and now what are you going to post? So 70% of your posts should be value content. And value content is something that's interesting, informative, entertaining, inspiring. So these can be news articles. It could be recent letters to the editor publications. It could be some kind of photographs, studies. You could get an image and put a quote on it. So make it into a meme with an inspirational quote. So it's really important too to remember with pictures that you're using the right dimensions, so that if you are putting text on the pictures, that it doesn't get cut off, because Facebook has very specific dimensions that it will allow to be posted. So 20% should be shared content. So this is where you can share other people's ideas or Facebook posts. And you should always add a little bit of your own commentary or text along with that. Sharing posts from, I don't know, CCL National is always a good thing to do. It helps CCL National's Facebook page get new followers. And it gives you something. You didn't have to go and search the internet for what's new on climate change. You just share what we shared. And then the last 10% is promotional content. So this is where you're going to promote your local chapter, things that are going on, you know, events you might be having, if you're going to be having, a tabling event, or if you're collecting donations to send your local members to DC for the national conference. So this is where you can kind of promote yourself, you know, invite people to the intro call. You want to make sure, though, above everything, that you stagger your posts. So you don't do, you know, in one day, you don't do your whole month's worth of 10% promotional content. So you want to stagger it. You want to varying it up. So I'll give you some examples. So for the 70% value content, this is an example of what that would look like. So this is an example of a news article that Flannery put into a blog. And so we shared this content because it was breaking news and commentary on that breaking news. And then for shared, we went and I think this one is Years Living Dangerously. Yes. Years Living Dangerously posted Curbelo's response to the U.S. withdrawing from Paris. And so we shared that particular post on our page because Years of Living Dangerously was getting a ton of interaction on that. And then in terms of promotional, this is where a couple weeks ago I added this photo because it was the anniversary of the New York City Climate March from 2014. And so I did a fun little post, Throwback Thursday, who was there, you know, comment below if you were in this picture. So that was kind of just promoting our brand. Yes, Avaya, you were there. so this is kind of just us promoting the brand a little bit, something fun. But it wasn't too heavy on the promotional side. It wasn't saying like, you know, be on our intro call or be on Citizens Climate University tonight. So it was like a little bit of a soft promotional share. So what else do you post? Videos, 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 and images. So this slide used to say a couple months ago, images, 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 and videos. So I left that on there just to demonstrate that Facebook is constantly changing their algorithms. What is popular to post now is not necessarily true 3-6 months from now, and it's definitely not true a year from now. Things are being innovated all of the time. So videos are king right now. You can use Facebook Live. It's a really fun thing to try out. You can use that at a conference, you know, during March, at a presentation, a tabling event. You know, a cool idea might be if you're having a tabling event at a farmer's market and you want to collect constituent comment forms. At the very beginning of the event, you could do a Facebook Live for like 1 minute and just say, hey, I'm here at the Riverhead Farmers Market today. They're selling tomatoes and we're collecting constituent comment letters. So come buy your tomatoes. They have some apple pies too that smell delicious, and write a quick letter to your member of Congress. We're going to be here all day until 4 o'clock. I hope you'll stop by our table. We're right beside the pumpkins. come see us and write a letter to your member of Congress. So doing that really quickly at the beginning of your event might get a couple of people to stop by that were thinking about it, and now they're like, you know what, we need to go get some tomatoes and pumpkins anyway, so we'll go do that. And then you can get them to write a letter. And it's really a fun way to engage. So if you guys follow CCL's Facebook page, you'll see that on Thursday. No, wait, today's Thursday. On Wednesday? Was it yesterday? I think so. My days are running together. I think it was yesterday. I did a Facebook Live announcing the latest additions to the Climate Solutions Caucus. So we're now at 60 members on the Climate Solutions Caucus, 30 Republicans and 30 Democrats. And so I did a 5-minute Facebook Live event. And you'll notice that I repeated myself several times throughout, reminding people who I was, why I was doing Facebook Live, what the good news was, explaining the caucus, who's on the caucus, who are the new people in the caucus, how did it form? And I reiterated that over and over again because people join and then leave, and then they might join again, or new people join, but they're joining 30 or 60 seconds into the video. So you are wanting to consistently repeat yourself, but repeat it in a different way so that it's not just like a robot reading it. And that brings me to the next part, which is 3 seconds. You have 3 seconds to bring someone in. That is it. So you don't want to be in the beginning too long announcing who you are and where you're from and what you're doing. You want to say, you know, breaking news, this is so exciting. From Washington, D.C., we have 60 members in the Climate Solutions Caucus. That's 30 Republicans and 30 Democrats that are working together. This is not fake news. You know, so something that's going to engage them right in those first 3 seconds. And once you have them for those first 3 seconds, if you have a good pitch for that, they might stick around longer. But there's research that shows you only have 3 seconds to get their attention. We have very short attention spans nowadays. So you don't want to say like, hi, I'm Ashley. I'm the marketing and events director for Citizens Climate Lobby. I became a volunteer in 2012 and I was hired in 2015. Like that is just way too long of an intro. You want to, when you can with your videos, you know, a Facebook Live video, people have to listen because there's not an option to do the captioning because it's live. But if you're uploading, let's say, a video you recorded at an event, you need to use one of the online platforms to put captions on it. And that's because most of us watch Facebook videos while we're at work. We're all guilty of it. It's part of my job, so I cannot get in trouble for it. But the rest of you probably could if you had the sound on. And so that's why you don't turn the sound on. So you want to have the captions running along the bottom of it because people are not going to put headphones in and listen to videos posted on Facebook most of the time. They're going to read the captions as they're scrolling through. And that's the vast majority. They've done research on this. So you really need to have captions on your videos. You also want to do native uploads, which a native upload means you upload the video directly on Facebook. So instead of uploading the video to YouTube and then posting a link on Facebook, you want to upload it directly to Facebook. So that's what I mean by native uploads. And Facebook has algorithms that prefer that, and that's because it benefits them as opposed to putting a link to YouTube, which is an outside other platform. So studies have shown that status updates that are between 80 to 100 characters get higher engagement. So why do I have this on this slide all by itself? Because that is 96 characters. So that is the sweet spot. That is how long your status updates should be. Something that's a little weird and I can't quite understand, I haven't put my finger on it, is we get more engagement on CCL's headquarters Facebook page when the posts are a little bit longer. I think it's because we have a lot of readers, a lot of smart people. They want to learn as much as they can. So I've been rewarded as the person managing that page with longer worded posts. So that's why I do that on the headquarters page. But you want to play around and experiment a little bit and see if you post longer posts, do people interact with it more? Or if you post shorter posts, is that getting more interaction? So you do a little bit of experimenting over time. One of the things I love a lot about Facebook is that you can schedule posts. So you can schedule posts hours or days in advance. And here's what you do to do that. You go in and you type up your post as you normally would. And then you click on the right, there's a little arrow by the post, and you click schedule there. And then when you click schedule, a little window is going to pop up and it's going to ask you what day and time you want to schedule your post. And you set that and then you click the blue schedule button and you can forget it. It's really awesome. I sometimes will schedule things a month in advance. Let's say that Brett asked me, there's this big CCU coming up in a month and he really wants us to promote that on social media. I can go and he said, you know, today, can I do this? And I said, yeah, that's coming up in November. I'll do that right now so I don't forget. I can go, I can schedule it, and then I don't have to remember to do anything with it. It's just going to be there. You can post 1 to 2 things per day. So I usually will schedule one thing and then I'll save that other post for some kind of like something in the news that day. So I don't want to schedule too many posts that day because then something might happen that day that's timely and we want to post about that topic because everyone's going to be talking about it. I've also found, and so I'm kind of breaking all of the rules that I'm sharing tonight. I've also found that our volunteers like to engage on multiple posts a day. So I do usually post about 3 times a day, sometimes 4, depending on how I'm seeing throughout the day that things are going. So I kind of monitor this throughout the day and we'll make adjustments as needed. Don't repost the same material. If you want to share the same kind of news or an article, you can, but just set it as a new post and put some different content in the post itself. You want things to look fresh. So let's talk about events. This is something that I think all of our chapters should be doing on a regular basis. I think events are really underused. And so you want to be making events for your chapter meetings and functions. So we had a potluck a couple of weeks ago for our local chapter. So we created an event for that. You want to be sharing the events in your newsfeed. You want to ask your fans to share those events in their newsfeed. You want to invite other people to the events, and then you want to ask your fans to invite other people. You want to ask other groups if they'll share your event on their newsfeed, and then you would want to, of course, reciprocate that if they're having an event. If you've got an ally, you know, a local organization, maybe Sierra Club or Audubon, you know, you can share each other's events with the followers. That's a great way to partner with other organizations. So that's kind of planning ahead. During the event, you want to take pictures during the event and actually post them to your event page during the event. So that might mean that you designate one of your volunteers to be the person who does that during your event. And you want to have 2, 3, 4 pictures posted during the event. You want to ask people to check in. So you can put a little sign at your registration table that says, please check in on Facebook for the event. You can make an announcement at the very beginning of your event. Hey, if everyone could get out their phone real quick, make sure it's turned on vibrate. And oh yeah, while you're doing that, check in on Facebook real quick. So it takes 30 seconds for people to do that. And they're used to doing that. A lot of us do check in events because we want to share with people what we're doing, where we're at, and what we're eating for dinner. So after the event, you want to go onto your Facebook event and you want to thank those people that attended. Post a thank you message, you know, maybe some comments of what you heard people's reactions were to the event, maybe quote one of the speakers at the event, something fun. And then you want to share pictures at the end afterwards that you took towards the end of the event and ask attendees to share their own pictures. That's a really great way to get engagement. So here's a couple snapshots of some event posts. So you can see on the left 2, those are actually the event pages. And then on the right, that is sharing an event in the news feed. So you can see that what happened there was we posted a link to the event and then we wrote our next CCL meeting will be on Monday. You know, so you can see that we actually posted some information there in the news feed. So it would pop up on people's timelines. So how, like I said before, the best way to get people to RSVP to your event, because step one is getting them to RSVP to your event. Then you can communicate to them because they've RSVP'd, and then you have to get them to go to your event. So creating the event, you're not done. So you want to get as many people to RSVP as maybe or yes, so that then they will see your posts in the event itself. And the way you can do that, the best way you can do that is to invite them directly. So don't just post about the event in your newsfeed or in your page's newsfeed. Actually go to the event, that yellow highlight there where it says share, you're going to want to click that box, and then it'll say invite friends, and you'll want to actually go in, and that's on the right side what it looks like, and click the little check marks, and it'll actually select those friends, and then you click the invite bottom button there, and it'll send them an invitation in their notification. So they'll get a pop-up in their notifications that'll say, Abaya invited you to attend this event, you know, and you can say going, not going, or I think it's going maybe, and ignore. And so people can indicate whether they're going to be able to go or not, or they're interested, or they're going, or ignore. And so by doing that, you're actually being proactive. You're taking the time to invite them, and people are going to see that in their newsfeed, and most of them are going to respond in that they're interested or that they're going if they're able to. And so then the cool thing about that too is that will, if your friend says they're going or they're interested in going, that'll show up in people's newsfeed. So if I'm scrolling through, I would see that Brett said he's interested in an event, and maybe I want to go to that event too. So I'm going to sign up because I saw Brett signed up. So it becomes very social. Something I really recommend doing, I actually need to go and update my list, but because I did this a couple years ago, I created a list of my friends that are CCL, potential CCL Long Island attendees for any of our events. So I created a CCL Long Island list where I have all of our local chapter members that I'm friends with on Facebook in that list. I have some people I know that work for other environmental organizations. I have friends that I know that care about the environment. I have friends that I know that I think care about the environment or should care about the environment. And I've put them into a list. It doesn't mean that they get an invitation to the list. It doesn't mean that they all can communicate with each other. It's just my own little list that when I want to invite all of them to attend some environmentally related thing, I click that little list and it invites all 93 of them. Sends them an invitation. It doesn't mean that they're all going to be able to email each other or anything like that. So you go to the Explore, Friends List, Create List, and then once you've created your event, then you go Share, Invite Friends, and then there'll be a Suggested List, and that's where you can find your CCL Long Island list that I created, for example. So this is where it gets a little trickier. So if you do have questions, you're trying that out, I'm happy if you email me. I would be happy to help walk you through step by step with that. So what kinds of things should you be doing or posting and interacting with on Facebook? So you should be making specific requests of your community. You should be expressing thanks and showing appreciation and praise for your volunteers. Maybe a volunteer wrote a letter to the editor, so you want to praise them online. Like, look, Brett just got this letter to the editor in Newsday published. Congratulations, Brett, on your first letter to the editor. You want to promote any of your volunteers that are doing things. You know, Abaya is going to be doing this presentation next week at the League of Conservation Voters, so go check this out. Then you want to do specific calls to action. So if you're sharing an event, let's say you're going to have next week, and you want other people to share this event, you don't just share it and hope for the best. You have to share it and ask them to share it. So the call to action here is, friends, we're having this event next Saturday. Please share this post so that others know about it. We don't want anyone to miss out. So the call to action is, please share this post. Another call to action is, click the news story and comment on the page, or share this article with all of your friends. Or, you know, love this article as opposed to just liking this article. Because, you know, if people get the little heart emoticons as opposed to just the thumbs up, people are tend to pay more attention to that. So you want to make specific calls to action. I've noticed that whenever I'm on the CCL main page and I say, please share this great news that we have 60 members on the Climate Solutions Caucus, people are more likely to share than if I just post, we have 60 members in the Climate Solutions Caucus. Isn't that cool? So if I actually say share, people are more likely to click the share button. It seems like it's obvious, but you know, I had to be told and now I'm telling you. So spread the word. So this is something I think that is really cool, that's brand new with Facebook. you can like your legislators' pages. And this is something that the Congressional Management Foundation has recommended as a way to engage with your members of Congress. All members of Congress are on Facebook and Twitter, and most of them are on Instagram. They have staff that their whole job is monitoring and managing their digital media. So they've got a staff person that does their Facebook, their Twitter, their Instagram, and maybe helps with a little bit of their email marketing, but that's their job. And so this is a really good way to get their attention. They pay attention to this. They take this as seriously as they take getting emails from constituents. So you want to like their pages. You want to check their pages regularly. You want to comment on their posts to show appreciation, gratitude, and respect. My own personal rules that I have for myself are that if I don't have something nice to say, I don't say anything at all. So I try to, because it's really important for me to be maintaining my relationship with my member of Congress, and maintain, I have a Republican member of Congress, and maintaining it to be positive. So I comment and appreciate when I like what he did, and when I don't like what he did, I tell my husband. And I don't say anything online on his page about it. And I have lots of friends that go online and say they don't like something he's doing, so I trust that they're representing my views. So you want to make sure you're showing appreciation on them, on their page. Now, this is really, really important. If your member of Congress posts that they just joined the Climate Solutions Caucus, you want to share that post. You want to comment on that post. You want to love that post. You want to email and call and text all of your friends that are on Facebook and ask them to go to your congressperson's page, to like that, to comment on that, and to share that too. Why? Because there are metrics behind this. The staff that work for your member of Congress are looking at numbers. They're looking at what posts are getting the most likes, what posts are getting the most comments, what posts are getting the most shares, what posts are getting positive comments, what posts are getting negative comments. They're calculating all of these numbers. They're honing their message. They're figuring out how they can get information out there that, you know, makes them look good, and what messages their constituents are interested in hearing about. So the more we share and like and comment on and thank in the comments on posts of things we like to see, the more likely they're going to do it. So this is kind of like the digital version of giving your dog a treat for sitting nicely at the door. This is the digital cookie to your member of Congress because you liked that they were posting about climate change. So you want to interact on those posts that you really like seeing from them. Comments are most effective the sooner you respond. So if my member of Congress posted something in the last half hour, the comments are going to be paid attention to, you know, for an hour, 2 or 3 hours. If they post something else, that is going to be paid more attention to. So as time goes along, things are going to be a little bit less paid attention to. You want to be careful that you're not a frequent flyer in a negative way. Sometimes they might be like, oh, there's Ashley again saying thank you for the millionth time, but that's okay to be a frequent flyer in that. You don't want to harass them, obviously. I think for CCL volunteers, we all know that. You don't want to use inappropriate language or be derogatory or threatening or harass them. You want to make sure that your posts are going to be constructive, positive, appreciative. But you also want to make sure that you're not posting on every single post things that are not related to what their post is about, right? So if they're posting about some education bill, you don't want to go on there and say carbon fee and dividend, like that's a little bit, you know, annoying if they're trying to talk about something else. So you want to make sure that you're posting relevant things. So I don't know, if you want to drive a conversation towards education and climate, maybe post something about an education and climate piece you saw in the news, but don't make it about carbon fee and dividend. So make sure you're trying to stick with the context and content of what they're posting. On other platforms, you might want to retweet something that they're sharing. Would want to, comment on reply to their tweets. You would want to comment on their Instagram posts. It's really important to note that when you post something, a comment on Facebook, they can see your profile just like you can see, you know, their page. They can see certain aspects of your profile. They can see your profile picture. They can see your name. They can see where you're from. So if you say you're a constituent and you're not, they know that. So don't lie. So, you know, it's really important to make, to think before you post. So on this next slide, I can show you a screenshot of what Facebook's town hall looks like. So this is a new thing that Facebook's done in the last year, and it's a cool way to interact and to see who all of your members of Congress are and to show your friends and family that you're engaged on Facebook with your elected officials. So that is my synopsis on Facebook. I have about 35 other things I could say about Facebook, but we are limited in time. So I'm happy to answer questions now related to Facebook. And I'm also happy if we don't get to all of the questions on Facebook tonight. I'm happy for people to reach out to me through email or giving me a call too. Yes. Thanks. So Twitter is another great platform to use to engage with people in your community and also with your legislators. So there are 328 million active users on Twitter. It's a great place to be part of the dialogue. It moves very quickly. The conversations not only are like changing by the day, but they're changing by the hour. The trending topics change by the hour. A lot of legislators make public statements on Twitter. So if they have a press release, they'll post that to Twitter. And it's a great way to interact with them. And the cool thing about Twitter is that you can actually initiate the conversation with your member of Congress on any topic you want. Whereas on Facebook, you're commenting on their own post. You can't actually post to their wall on Facebook. They've turned off that ability. I think as soon as they added Facebook pages for members of Congress, they saw that people wanted to post their own things on their walls, and so they immediately turned that off. But here on Twitter, you can actually start your own topic with them, start your own conversation with them. There's a 140-character limit that is either changing soon or has recently changed. And I would recommend that people stick to that 140-character limit, even if you see that it's changed, because people are not very happy about it allowing more space. They like the brevity of Twitter. Use hashtags on Twitter, but don't use more than two in one tweet. So on Twitter, you actually create a chapter account. So you would share the username and login with your fellow chapter members that are going to be the administrators for Twitter. So I've listed some examples, Twitter handles here that you could use. I have a screenshot for CCL Michigan, so you can see what their Twitter handle is there. The Twitter handle for CCL National is @CitizensClimate. So it's really important when you join Twitter, you want to follow and get followed. So when you join, you want to follow relevant accounts. So follow CCL National, follow other CCL chapters, especially those chapters that are nearby in your state. You want to follow other climate organizations, both national and local. Follow your legislators. Follow your local chapter members. And if you want to hit the, yeah, there we go. And then follow media. So local media, national media, media that's specific to climate change or environmental issues. Following people can sometimes get you followed. So it's good etiquette on Twitter that when people follow you, you should follow them back. The only time that doesn't apply is when you're a celebrity. So if you're not a celebrity, then you should follow people back if they're following you. And you'll get followed more and more as you engage in conversation on Twitter. Most of the Facebook guidance applies on Twitter. So images and videos are good to use. Retweeting is like sharing. So you want to retweet other people, retweet CCL headquarters, retweet Bradley Whitford because he posts a lot about climate, retweet Arnold Schwarzenegger who's been posting about climate. You know, you can just go find a lot of celebrities that are tweeting on climate, and that'll help you sometimes get more people to follow you. You can't schedule tweets directly through Twitter, but you can use another platform outside of Twitter. I like Hootsuite. Hootsuite, actually, you can schedule with Facebook too. So you can hook up your Facebook and your Twitter in Hootsuite and then schedule all your posts for both platforms at once. Again, here, remember your CCL values. Twitter has a little bit different of a personality compared to Facebook. People are a little bit more sarcastic or snarky on Twitter. They like to be clever. So that's a little bit more accepted here, but you want to be careful because you don't want to set the wrong tone. So you do want to keep, you want to always go back when you're posting something, you know, does this ascribe to CCL's values? It's okay to post more often on Twitter. So you can post 2 to 8 times a day on Twitter. Just don't post 10 times in a row, unless if sometimes you'll see celebrities will do one of two, two of two, or 1 of 3, 2 of 3, 3 of 3, if they have a lot of things they want to say. And that's okay if you do that very limited. Do not do that all the time. So again, images, rule on Twitter and videos. So you can see on the left, that image with Jay Butera, our hero at CCL. That is from May 20th. You can see the date stamp there, but then you can see on the left, right above our logo, the little push pin, and that's the pinned tweets. That is the top tweet. Even though it was May 20th, it's still the top thing you see if you go to a Citizens Climate on Twitter. And that's because we selected that to be the pinned tweet. We want people to see that when they come to our Twitter page. Hashtags. So I didn't really mention hashtags with Facebook because they're not really used on Facebook. They work and they're sometimes used, but they're just not as effective. But on Twitter and on Instagram, you really want to be using hashtags. So people read their feed. So when they log on and they just start scrolling down, they're seeing conversations and news and information. So that's where they get information, but they also will search for hashtags. And so they might want to see what's the latest news on climate change. And so they'll search for climate or climate change. Maybe you want to see act on climate. So these are different hashtags you can use for having a conversation about climate change. So you could tag Representative Curbelo and thank him for leading on climate change, or thank you for the, being a climate leader, hashtag climate leader. So there's a lot of different things you can do with hashtags. So you definitely want to do mentions as well. So, this is where you could tag the media. If you're posting an article, you can tag them in the piece and link to the article and then hashtag climate. People do notice when you mention them. So if you tag your member of Congress, you mention them, someone in their office is going to see that. It might be the intern. It might not get too high up the food chain, but someone's going to see it. And then if they get enough tweets on a particular topic, they will make sure that gets to their boss. So if you get 10 people to tweet about the same thing on the same day with the same hashtag, it might get on your member of Congress's desk. So you definitely want to learn your member of Congress's handle on Twitter, and you want to use it and when appropriate. And for news items, you want to use the reporters' handles. You really want to engage here with your member of Congress on Twitter. They do pay attention to it, and they like it when you retweet and comment on their tweets. So that's a good strategy to get on the radar as well. So if they're posting anything positive, anything you agree with, anything you like, you definitely want to appreciate them for that. And if it has anything to do with the environment or climate change, you want to definitely love that up. Mm-hmm. Okay, so Instagram, it is really becoming very popular. It's especially popular among millennials. 60% of Instagram's users are 35 years old or younger. There are 40 billion photos posted to date. It's picture driven, so you have to be using pictures or videos. And you have to use your smartphone to post. So you can't use a computer to post. Like Twitter, you use hashtags here, but you can use as many hashtags as you want. They love hashtags on Instagram. And the good thing of using a lot of hashtags is it gets you new followers. So you'll see lots of people using lots of hashtags. So you want to use some of the more common hashtags as well, like the Act on Climate and Climate Change, just like we talked about for Twitter. So you want to use high resolution photos. Putting quotes on top of images is really popular. And then stories is Instagram's latest opportunity to post things. And that is something that kind of steals a little bit from Snapchat. So you want to make a profile, make a business profile. And so there's a lot of perks for registering as a business. And it allows you to select yourself as a nonprofit. And so when people click on your profile, they can see that you're a nonprofit and you're there for a social cause reason. And so people will be more likely to follow you. You want to take advantage of Instagram stories. So as I mentioned, this is a recently added feature. And you can upload fun snapshots of your organization without the fear of overposting. You can basically share as much as you want throughout the day and be as creative as you want. Really bring your story to life in new ways and using new techniques like drawing tools and text on your pictures. And those photos and videos disappear after 24 hours. So the stories disappear after 24 hours. If you just post a photo like regular, that will be in your photo dashboard, your profile grid. So you can toggle between your personal account and your business account. So on the screen here, you see classy _org, and then you see Juliana's username there. So for example, if I were to show you my phone, you would see my personal Instagram, you would see CCL's Instagram, and then I have an Instagram for my two Great Danes, and then I have an Instagram for my puppy who's a German Shepherd Labrador Retriever mix. So I have four Instagram accounts on my phone. So you can toggle between them. That was not always the case. And I used to have to log out of one and log in and log out of that one and log back in. So this is really great. So you can have your personal account and your CCL account. So this is actually from an organization blog called CauseVox. And I love this. It's a great resource. The name will be on the next page. But I highly recommend going on their blog and just reading some of the stuff, some of the slides. This slide, for example, I got from CauseVox. So you want to be human-centric in your pictures. You want to show positive images, smiling, hopeful expressions, tell stories with pictures. And you can go to the next one. You want to use filters to make your images stand out more. You can drive conversations through hashtags. So for example, on Giving Tuesday, which is the Tuesday after Thanksgiving, we're going to have a hashtag conversation going on Instagram using hashtag Giving Tuesday. So we're going to have a conversation going around that. And then just a couple last things on Instagram. You want to place a link in your bio, and that link continues to change over and over again. So on the right here, you see in the red circle, that's their bio, and then you see a little finger pointing down, and then you see the link. That link you can change over and over again, and you can update that bio. So I could post, we have new members joining the Climate Solutions Caucus today, check out our blog, and I could put the actual post to that actual individual blog there, and then I can change that the next day when I'm posting about something different, and I want them to go to a different place on our website. So you constantly change that link in your bio to match whatever your latest post is, so people can see your image, because you can't put links in Instagram updates. You can post images and you can post words, but links won't work. So you want to update your link here in your bio and tell people, see the link in my bio. Okay, so you want to use hashtags. You can use these dots below the text of your post and put your hashtags at the bottom so it's not too cluttered in your posts. So you can see on the right, the example there, you don't see all the hashtags. You would have to click the little where it's circled in red. You have to click that little dot to see all the hashtags at the bottom.
But so, just for the sake of closing on the top of the hour here, we'll just close by providing both Ashley's information for follow-up tonight. It's just ashley@citizensclimate.org. If you're on the phone, my contact information for any questions on any CCU lessons is simply brett@citizensclimate.org. Just like Ashley said, make sure to share with your friends and your family on social media. We want to get as much traction with all these lessons as possible. And so we wanted to close tonight by thanking all of you for your time. Ashley, thank you so much for your availability, your insight, and your expertise. We're already getting all the thank yous streaming in here. And with that, we wish you all a wonderful rest of your week, Eve, tonight. Thanks so much, team.
Yeah, I'm happy to stay on for a few minutes if people